Hello, and welcome back in to week three of the By Faith Curriculum Podcast. I am back here. This is Landon with Rachel.
Hey, guys.
And we are diving back into the Old Testament, sticking in the book of Genesis. Last week, we talked a little bit about Cain and Abel, had CJ on for that. And now we're hopping ahead a few chapters to Genesis 18 and the story of Sarah.
Yeah. So last week I sat down with CJ. We got to learn about Cain and Abel, our first two like sons or, you know, like descendants of the original people of creation.
Nothing like jumping off the semester and talking about murder.
Yeah. Crazy stuff going on. Sometimes when you read the Old Testament, maybe this is just me, but sometimes I read it, I'm like, wait, oh, yeah. Okay. Because it really does just highlight the depravity of humanity, which is so sad, but there's also just so much faith and hope and goodness. So
that's highlights maybe, our depravity and God's goodness,
yeah,
right?
But also, you know, God's goodness is highlighted by our not so goodness sometimes, maybe we can say it that way.
Indeed.
And so we got to see different elements of how the scripture, like that particular scripture, and even just like the Old Testament in general, is pointing to Jesus through various symbolic elements. CJ talked a lot about different things that you can see. And so if you didn't listen to last week's, I would totally go back and listen to it because it was so helpful in just studying the Old Testament in general.
Yeah, I think that's a good note, even like, you know, hey, you missed the boat, you know, you forgot to listen to the podcast before group, but like, I think it can even be helpful for like a post-group listen to even... Hopefully you listened to it beforehand, but if you didn't, like it's good to build on, you know, whatever you talked
about.
It will still
be enriching.
For sure.
And we also got to see like God's faithfulness to these two brothers and also like their faith or maybe like lack of faith in Cain's case and, you know, the dramatics of murder and all that. But that was last week.
Yeah. So now we're jumping ahead. So, and which we'll probably do a lot of this semester where we're jumping from, you know, one part of the Old Testament to the other. And like in Hebrews 11, it feels like it's close together, but really a lot's happened in between these stories. And so it's important to kind of give some context. So catch us up from where we left off with Cain and Abel to kind of where we're at now with Sarah.
Yeah. So this week we're going to focus on Genesis 18, 1 through 15. And be ready to kind of like do some flipping because Sarah's story is not fully encaptured in those 15 verses. So we're going to look at a couple other passages as well to help fully develop what's going on.
Good.
But even before we get to that, there's some like, you know, the normal events that you maybe if you grew up in Sunday school would know about happened from when we talked about Cain and Abel and now to Abraham and Sarah. So last week, CJ kind of talked about how in like Genesis 1 through 11 is like one section of Genesis. And then we have 12 through 50, and that's more of like the ancestral history. And so that's where we're going to be for the next couple weeks is that ancestral part. But to finish up that first section from Cain and Abel, there was like descendancy, and then we get Noah and the flood. And so there's just like a lot of depravity on the earth. God is just like heartbroken. Like the scripture literally says, God's heart broke over the evil that was present in the world. And so he decided to kind of just like reset it a little bit, but securing this man named Noah, who was righteous, and his family by having him build this ark. But as we will see with all our characters that we talk about this semester, Noah wasn't perfect. And so one event leads to another, and we get to the Tower of Babel. And at the Tower of Babel, we just see a lot of human pride, which leads to a lot of chaos. And that chaos leads to the scattering of humanity. And so the peoples are scattered. And from there, it traces the lineage to Abraham and Sarah. And that's where we will start this week.
Excellent. Yeah, I think even... that's a great job of like even summarizing a lot that happens in between these two stories. And I think if you want even like a good overview of like, what is the difference from Genesis 1 through 11 to like 12 through 50, or, you know, you kind of even want like a roadmap of where we've been and where we're going over the next few weeks. The Bible Project has a really good summary videos of all of scripture, but specifically those Genesis. I think they have one for 1 through 11.
Yes, they do.
And then one for 12 through 50.
That has like the fantastic, like fantastical kind of stories of 1 through 11 and then those ancestral history of 12 through 50. They're really helpful.
And they do that fun thing where like, you know, they like draw out the pictures like while they're talking about the thing, and it's super fun. And yeah. So maybe check that out. That'd be good even as just a an overview of even how these stories tie together. So we're not seeing them as just kind of individual one-offs.
Yeah. So this new section of Genesis starts with Genesis 12. And this is the first time God gives a promise to Abraham, and he promises him that he will become a great nation. And we see a similar promise in Genesis 17, but it's like kind of like fleshed out even more. And it's said to be a covenant. And so you see the word covenant used a lot in the Old Testament scriptures. Covenant isn't actually something that God just like came up with and said, hey, you're humans, this is what we're doing. It was actually something utilized in the ancient Near East. And so God came to humanity and used a kind of like agreement system that they knew about themselves to kind of like come to them, you know?
Like, yeah, I didn't know that. That's cool. I like that.
So within like a covenant in the ancient Near East, you had a suzerain and a vassal. The vassal was like a smaller kind of tribe or country or whatever you maybe you would call like a group of people at that time. And the suzerain was like a larger territory. And so a suzerain would have like a promise to help the vassal, and the vassal would kind of be like in service to the suzerain. And so God, the suzerain, comes to humanity, his vassal, and he is going to protect them and serve them as they serve him, if that makes sense.
Yep, I'm with you.
And so that's the kind of like promise God is making with Abraham at this time. And so he again promises, like, I will make you the father of all nations, like in your descendants will live in the land that I will take you to. And he changes Abraham. So Abraham wasn't always Abraham in Genesis 12 and until Genesis 17, it's Abram and Sarai. Mm-hmm. But he changes their names to Abraham and Sarah to like kind of like solidify this promise, because Abraham means father of many and Sarah means princess or like a noble woman. And so it's like this honorary title.
Yeah.
And so...
And so they get this promise and they immediately have kids and everything's great, right?
No. So they're given this promise and then there's some drama because, you know, again, yet again, they're not perfect.
Yeah.
And we're going to see that in this passage that we focus on this week, as well as another passage that we'll kind of flesh out as we go along.
Yeah. Cool. Well, do we feel ready to dive into Genesis 18 then?
Yeah.
Great. So give us a quick little summary of what happens in our text for this week.
Yeah. So we're going to go 1 through 15. So we have these three visitors come and visit Abraham and Sarah. There's a lot of like, kind of like controversy of like, who are these people? There's a lot of theories.
So we should be sure to derail our groups and really focus on that.
No, because it's not like that. Like, it's not like it's a cool conversation. Totally go research it. Yeah. But it's not like so important to this week's conversation that we would want to completely derail to it.
That's good.
But it's cool to look at. But we know that these visitors are from God because the Hebrew word alane is used, which is only like throughout the rest of the Old Testament Hebrew, alane is only ever used in the presence of Yahweh. Mm. So we know that God's presence is in some way present here. And then in the story, we see that they just like, happened to know Sarah's name and her situation. And so it's like, okay.
That's a little odd.
Yeah. So the kind of like basic way of understanding it is like, these are three visitors from God. So maybe like three angelic visitors or something like that. And so they come and make it to visit Abraham and Sarah. So Abraham makes all these preparations and he's out there hanging out with them and Sarah's in back in the tent. And like, this isn't like Sarah's way off in a tent and Abraham's way over here dining with these people. Like, it's all close together. It's like a little camp. And so they're talking and one of them asks like, where is Sarah? Because she's in the tent. Mm-hmm. And they give a promise and they say that this time next year, Sarah will have a child. And if you don't know, because we probably not because we haven't talked about it yet.
Yep.
Sarah is very old at this point. She is way past childbearing age. She has waited years and years and years and years and never was given God's promise that she will be the mother of nations. Mm. And so they ask her, well, they give this promise and she just laughs.
Yeah.
And it's not like this, oh, yay, kind of laugh. It's like, yeah, right.
Yeah. Which I think is a very natural human response for sure.
Like she like cannot believe that it's true. Like she's been given this promise. It hasn't happened. She's really old now. Like why would it happen at this point?
Yeah.
And these visitors say, why did Sarah laugh and say, well, I really have a child now that I am old. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year and Sarah will have a son. And then Sarah's like, wait, no, I didn't laugh. And then it ends.
Ooh, what a cliffhanger.
We'll tell you like what ends up happening later though.
Okay, so that's a little bit of a cliffhanger, but a really interesting interaction there between Sarah and these mysterious guests. So as you kind of dove in, as you looked at the story of Sarah, specifically through this lens of By Faith that we're going through over the course of the semester, what stood out to you? What kind of got you fired up?
So the way that I kind of summarized all that, it was like pretty, I think I read it in a way that was like pretty clear that like, of course Sarah was disappointed.
Yeah.
But I think that like every other time I've ever read the scripture, I was like, why are you so disbelieving, Sarah? This is the God of the universe. Come on.
Yeah.
But like, that's just like not real. You know, like I like reading it this time and like digging into the text, I really just found this deep empathy for her.
Yeah.
Because she is for sure acting out of this deep disappointment in her life.
Yeah.
She was promised so long ago, so many times, that she would bear a child. And bearing a child at this time was like really important. Mm. Like it was like an honorary role as a woman to do this. And it just like kept not happening for her. And so the God of the universe, the creator of everything that she like had her faith in, didn't seem to be fulfilling this thing that he had promised her. And so like you get this disappointment and then you put up your guard. And so it's like, I don't want anything else to hurt me.
Mm.
And so I'm going to put up this wall. And so whenever these visitors said again, like, oh, you're going to have a child this time next year, the wall was up.
There's almost like this defense mechanism of like, you know, I'm not going to let this thing hurt me again. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like it was probably just like so hard for her to wait and even to like watch the women around her, like have this like fulfillment in their life. And then wait so long but still continue to have hope. Like that's such a hard expectation for me as a reader to have on her who is like living this, you know?
Yeah. And I even feel like that's a good note just like in general for like our reading of the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. And I even found myself doing this like with Cain last week.
Oh, for
just,
sure.
Like completely passing judgment. And like in a sense, like, you know, I see myself more in Cain in that story than I do Abel. And so I think it's like even to come to these stories with some sense of like compassion and understanding, because like the flaws that we see in these Old Testament characters, you know, we can also find in our own lives. But
it's
also really easy to come in just like pridefully and think like, you know, oh, if I was in their shoes, I totally would have done the right thing, you know, because hindsight's 20/20 or whatnot.
When I like discover the root of like what's going on with Sarah, it's like crazy how much I relate to her.
Yeah.
You know, just like disappointment. Like who hasn't had that in their life and like allowed that to kind of like block them away from the Lord or, you know, from any other relationship.
Yeah, that's good. What was kind of maybe a theme that kind of came to the surface out of the scripture that you think is important for students in groups this week?
So like one of our big things this semester is Jesus and like where is he in the scripture? And so like that was like a big one for me, just like even seeing like where does he appear, like where do we see it, like looking forward to him. And it's cool that like the lineage part of the story is pointing to Jesus, and Sarah's faithfulness led to the lineage continuing to point to Jesus.
Yeah.
And so like this is the beginning of the ancestral history of the people of Israel. Like Abraham all the way to Jesus, like it's marked in, I think in the beginning of Matthew, it dates back to Abraham, and it's through Sarah's son, Isaac, who she ends up the year later, spoiler alert, a year later, she does bear a son, and it's through him and his line that Jesus comes, which is so cool. Like through Sarah's faithfulness to wait the next year, her faithfulness to say, okay, I'm barren, but maybe the Lord will still give me a child. He did.
Yeah.
And then Jesus came through that. And so she had this son named Isaac. She named him Isaac because Isaac means laughter. And so I just think this is really beautiful. So this is just kind of a side note. She named it him Isaac because it means laughter. Because whenever she gave birth, she had so much joy that it was like this joyous laughter. That's like an irony to what happens in the story we read this week, where she has this like angry, kind of like disappointed laughter, disbelieving laughter that turns into joyous laughter 1 year later.
That's incredible. Yeah, I love that. Man, I even hear like, I don't know, just like some similarities to like the story, you know, think about tying it to Jesus of like Mary and the virgin birth of like, you know, I don't know, just getting this like crazy message from the Lord of like, hey, you're going to have a child. And it's kind of the flip end of things, right? Because she's like, well, I'm not there yet. You know, whereas Sarah is like, I think I'm kind of past that phase, but, yeah, just like that God works in some really, really miraculous ways.
And since you mention it, like a really cool connection in this story, I completely forgot to write this down, but you think about Elizabeth and John the Baptist. Like Elizabeth was barren and was given a son by God.
Yeah.
Like blessed to like give birth to a son. It was John the Baptist who led the way, like led the path to Jesus coming, like, you know?
Yeah. Man, that's super cool. We love seeing those tie-ins throughout scripture. So how do we, you know, we're kind of looking at each character and saying, you know, how does their witness, you know, like what about them, you know, brought them to be praised in Hebrews 11 for their faith or for their faithfulness? And so what would you say that Sarah teaches us about what it means to live the life of faith?
I think that we see a really unique sort of faithfulness in Sarah. Because oftentimes when we think about faith or even look at that laundry list of people in Hebrews, we just think about like what they did. But for Sarah, it was how long she waited. And so she was asked to wait and to sit still. That was her act of faithfulness. And I just think that is so beautiful and something that we too are probably really called for. Like Sarah's by faith story is faithfully waiting for God's timing. And like, we even get to see that a little more in Genesis 16, which we haven't really talked about yet. The drama of Sarah and Hagar, before this all occurs, Sarah tried to make, having a child happen on her own, which I relate to a lot. Like there's circumstances that we're like, we could be waiting and just like allowing the Lord to just like move in his timing. But we say, no, I'm going to make it happen right now, you know, and just like try to like manipulate situations to like bring things about. And that's what Sarah did. Like, it was kind of just like this crazy thing where she like brings her servant to her husband and says like, well, if I can't have a child, bear a child with her, so then I can have a child through my servant. And that, obviously, we all know, leads to all this drama and like Hagar runs away and whatever. She has Ishmael. Ishmael is also blessed. God is like so like kind through it all. But we just see that like Sarah tried to do on her own. Yeah. It did not go very well. And now she's being asked to wait a little bit longer. And it's like that still faithfulness that led to her giving birth to a son that would then lead to Jesus.
Beautiful. Yeah, I didn't even think that speaks a really good word to a culture that seeks instant gratification.
Yeah.
And seeks, you know, what feels right in the moment. And man, I think that can even be so pervasive to those of us who follow Christ to just kind of want, I don't know, want those big, you know, spiritual highs or whatever it is, to say, you know, God, do this thing for me now. And it takes faith to wait and trust that his timing is better than our own.
Yeah,
for sure. Cool. So moving practically forward into maybe even beyond group this week, what would you say is a practical application or practical step that we can take out of the story of Sarah?
Since we get like this very unique image of faithfulness this week, I think we can be invited deeper into that and like practice like a stillness in our life and even ask the Lord, like sitting still before him and asking him, like, where are you calling me to wait? What are situations that I'm trying to make happen on my own, or I'm trying to like put together my own puzzle pieces and you're calling me to wait?
Yeah, I love that. I even feel like that has something to speak to like either end of kind of the spectrum of college life, where it's like, if you're a freshman, you're like, you know, where am I, where's my friend group? Where am I going to fit in? What is my major going to be? Whereas if you're maybe on the back end of things, it's like, man, I really need this summer internship, or what am I going to do after college, or where is this relationship going? And those are all things that we can wait in and trust the Lord's timing in, and trust that He knows better than us. So yeah, Rachel, thank you for your work in putting together this week, and yeah, for sharing the story of Sarah with us.
Of course. So happy to be here.
Excellent. Well, we hope that you all have a great group this week, and we look forward to hearing of all the good discussion that comes from it. And we will be back next week for week 4 of our curriculum.
Bye, guys.
See you soon. Bye.